Today's learning is dedicated in the honor of the Chasana today of Shmuley Jacobowitz and his Kala. May they be zeicha to be bayin by his name be Yisrael, to be a nachas with their parents. Ad meyav esrim shana. Okay, we are up to Nun Ches Amud Beis. Nun Tes Amud Beis. Sorry, apologize. Up to Nun Tes Amud Beis. And the Gemara had just asked on Rav. Rav had said, Nivela Shaloka Darka is Pasul the Klein Gadl. We're Nun Tes Amud Beis. A woman who had a relationship. Not what? I will let you know exactly in a minute. It's Pasul to Klein Gadl. The Gemara's problem was, because she's a Ba'ula. The Gemara's problem was, who is this going like? Right? We had a Braisa that said, Nivela Shaloka Darka. I'm sorry, the Gemara said that Amana, a Kayan, cannot marry an Amana that he was Ma'anes, right? Because she's an Amana. And the question is, why does we have to say it's because an Amana? It could be because she's a Ba'ula. Anybody that he's Ma'anes, he can't marry. He's not allowed to marry a woman that's not a Psula. So it's not somebody it's appropriate for him to marry. So why does the bride have to say that the Kayan Gadol is Ma'anes and Amana? He forces himself on an Amana who is a Psula. She's an Amana Minaerison. He can't marry her. He can't marry even if he forces himself on a single girl who is a Psula. Because after he forced himself on her, she's no longer a Psula. So it's a question on Rav, who said, Shaloi Kedarka, passes her from Kahuna. Because without Rav, you would have said, he forced himself on her, Shaloi Kedarka. And therefore, Shaloi Kedarka, he can still marry her. So therefore, it had to say Amana. But according to Rav, he can't marry her. So the Gemara wanted to say that Rav holds like Reb Elazar that says, Shloi Kedarka is Asuta Klein Gadol. And the Brisa is going like Reb Meir that says, Shloi Kedarka is Mutter. If you remember yesterday, we had that Machloikas. So the Gemara asked that according to Reb Elazar, she's a Zayna. Because Reb Elazar holds, any out-of-wedlock relationship makes a woman a Zayna, even if it's a someone that she could have married. So the Gemara answered that she lived with a behema. And a behema does not make her a zayna. We don't view an animal's a relationship as a bia. We don't classify it as a relationship. We view it as a non-relationship, and therefore, she's not a zayna. In fact, the Gemara, if she's not a zayna, then she's not a ba'ula. Right? Make up your mind. So you're going to tell me that it's like Kedarka, because if it's Kedarka, she becomes a Mukas Eitz. Terence says, you'll tell me that Shloi Kedarka is like a Mukas Eitz Shloi Kedarka, and a Mukas Eitz Shloi Kedarka, a woman who has rectal bleeding, would be also to a Kayin Gadol. The Gemara says that's impossible, that a Kayin Gadol would never be able to marry a woman. Every woman has rectal bleeding, because in those days they used to wipe themselves with stones. Impossible that she goes through life without bleeding. And therefore, obviously, bleeding from the rectum is not going to answer a woman to kahuna if you view a relationship with an animal like a stick. So Shloi Kedarka is not a mukas eitz, would not answer it to kahuna. Terence says, unless you view it as a maisabia. But if you view it as a maisabia, then she's a zayna. So again, who is this ba'ula that is not a zayna according to Reb Elazar? According to Reb Elazar, every woman that has an out-wedlock relationship is a zayna. So Kain Gadol can't marry her because she's a zayna. Terence, did you tell me that it's a behema? So make up your mind. Is a behema considered a bia? Then she's a zayna. If it's not considered a bia, it's Shloi Kedarka, and Shloi Kedarka would not answer her. There's no mukas eit Shloi Kedarka. That's where we left off yesterday. So we are up to a Nun Tes Amud Beis. 12th line from the top. Elo Amar of Zera b'Mema'enes. We have a woman that is not a Zayna, but at the same time, she had a relationship that would make her a Ba'ula and not a Zayna, and not a marriage. And that is a woman who married a Yisrael Ktana, who has no father, who married rabbinically, she married rabbinically to a man who lived with her Shaloi Kedarka. So she's still a Psula. She's still a Psula. And then that man...
She did Mian.
I'm sorry. She did Mian, right? So she's not a Zayna. because she lived with a marriage, even though it's rabbinic, but Reb Elazar does not classify that as nus. The Rabbanon sanctioned it. It is a sanctioned marriage rabbinically, so it would not be nus. And she's not an amana, because she did miyun, she walked out of the marriage. She's not a grusha, because she walked out of the marriage. So now she's not an amana, she's not a grusha, she's not a zayna. But she had a relationship with a man, shaloi kedarka, she is pasul to a kohen gadol. That's what Rav meant when he said, nivela shaloi kedarka, she's pasul to a kohen gadol. Any other nivela shaloi kedarka, according to Reb Elazar, would make her a zayna. So Rav has to find a case where she's not a zayna, she's not an amana, she's not a grusha. Who is this woman who had a marriage, which means she's not a zayna, but did not get divorced or widowed and is out of the marriage, and she's alive. And she still has psulim. But she lived shalai kedarka. Who is that? The only one we can think of is a mamanas. She walked out of a marriage that was rabbinic. Now, the rabbinic marriage took it away from being an out-of-wedlock relationship. Even though biblically there's no such marriage, and biblically this is an out-of-wedlock relationship. But the bottom line is, the Rabbanon said, you can get married this way. By them sanctioning this marriage, it's no longer a zayna. It is not straying. The girl is not straying. Zayna means when she strays. Reb Elazar says, any girl who has an out-of-wedlock relationship strayed. Therefore, she's a zayna. This woman did not stray. She listened to the rabbis. She listened to the Rabbanon. She got married rabbinically. So she didn't stray.
Why can she walk at 12?
She can walk out any time before they have a relationship after she's 12. I shouldn't say that. According to one man, she can't walk out after 12, period. But till 12, she can walk out.
Yeah, but she didn't stray when she was forced.
It's not forced. Okay, so we're going to get there in a second. Okay, we wait there for that in a second. I'm going to answer your question in 1 second. It's the Rashba's question. Very good question. Avraham Kovach was mechavan to the Rashba's question. We're going to get there in a second. But so the Gemara's answer is, I have a case for you. Now again, we're going to Reb Elazar's opinion. Reb Elazar's opinion is, a woman who lives shaloi kedarka is pasul to kahuna. Our problem was, you don't have to be pasul because of ba'ula. According to Reb Elazar, you're a zayna. A girl who has any out-of-wedlock relationship, kedarka or shaloi kedarka, is a zayna. Reb Elazar, whose opinion Rav is going in. The answer is, there's a girl who had a in-marriage relationship, but is not, usually a woman that's married can only be free through amana or grusha. How else does she get free? But this girl can walk out. So she can walk out with her psulim intact, having had a biyush like kedarka with a husband, which takes away the yisr zayna. That is the case that Rav says she's pasul to kain gadol because she did have a shaloi kedarka relationship. She is a physical psula. She's not an amana. She's not a grusha. She's not a zayna. How did she have this relationship? She had this relationship through a rabbinic marriage. Rashi. Zok to Rashi. Elam Rav Zera Mishkak Zala the Rav Aliba to Rav Lazar Tava Bula V'loi zayna V'loi amana V'loi grusha. She got married rabbinically. And he lived with her the opposite way. And then she walked out. Now, the chiddush here is that the rabbinic marriage takes away the zayna deraisa. Because, biblically speaking, this is not a wedding. She lived out of wedlock. But since the Rabbanon sanctioned this marriage, she's no longer a straying woman. And since she's not a straying woman, she is not a zayna. Now, they said it's an effective marriage. They said do it. They instituted this kind of a marriage.
They wanted this marriage to be good?
Absolutely. They wanted Ketanas to be able to marry even though they had no father. They looked at a situation. There were girls out there that had no father or could marry them off. They were being taken advantage of because they had no father. But the Raisa, there was no solution for them. Ketana cannot make her own kedushin.
To their benefit, that we're doing
this. Right. But biblically, it has no effect. Biblically, this is not a wedding. This is not a marriage. But since Rabbanan made it a marriage, it's not a zayna. So Avram Cohen asked the question, why can't the Gemara answer that somebody forced herself on this Florida lady, so she's not a zayna? She's not a gurusha, she's not an ambana. She had a relationship out of wedlock, but it was against her will. She's like a darka. So the answer is that this depends on the Gemara before. We had a question before, if a woman is an anusa, does she become a zayna or not? A woman that's married, that somebody forced himself upon her. The Gemara says it's asa tekhuna. We are two lashinas. One lashin called her a zayna, and one lashin said a zayna is only if she did something morally or ethically wrong. She didn't do anything morally or ethically wrong. It was ba'inas. It's only tuma. That was two lashinas we had in the Gemara. So your question is good according to one lashin, but according to the other lashin, she still is a zayna. So that couldn't have been an answer.
But if it be tumma, it's still a problem, isn't it?
What?
A lav also a tumma.
Only to the, no, it would not be a lav of tumma. Yes, it would be a lav of tumma, correct.
Either way, it's going to be my question is,
no, it's not an opportunity question. It's not a question.
Yeah.
Right, correct. But the Gemara of Laza called her a Zayna. She's not a Zayna according to one of the Lashaynas. Okay. Don't think about it.
Would that mean would be a, if she, the kid would be a chalala?
No, I don't think that would make it up. May, not really. No, I don't think so. No. She's asat at kayin because she's nitma. I mean, what was that Gemara there? Let me take a look at it again.
You going hedin as well?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. According to the Ikka of the Amri, she's not asa tekhuna because of I'm wondering. I should have known this. The Gemara said in the beginning, "Eches Yisrael shenensa, it's pasul lekuna." And the Gemara said, she's pasul lekuna. Right. Eches Yisrael shenensa is pasul lekuna. Right. Then the Gemara said, according to one lashon, she's a zayna. According to the other lashon, she's no zayna. She's only usher because of tumah. But tumah is only an isra labayla, no? Baal bayil and truma, but not to an other kayan.
I don't know if truma means kuna.
Meaning truma means kuna. You're right. That's why we don't. Okay. That's the Gemara Baita. Amar Rabbi Simi Bar Chiya. Nibbulu behei mekshera lekuna. A woman who has a relationship with an animal, it does not make her pasul to kuna if she's not a zayna. She might be a ba'ula for a kayan. She might not be a ba'ula for a kayan. She's a mukas eitz. We're not talking about a kayan gadol now. I'm sorry. Even a kayan gadol. Well, I should say that. Let me step back. Let me just step back because I'm going to have to speak this out whether I want to or not. The Mishnah said a kohen gadol can't marry a mukas eitz. If you remember our Mishnah, the Mishnah had a machlokes about vegeres. And the last line of the Mishnah was, lo yiseis mukas eitz. Most Rishonim learn that statement, lo yiseis mukas eitz, is not a continuation of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. If you look at our Mishnah, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Meir said, a kohen gadol cannot marry a begeres. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon said he could marry a begeres. Then the Mishnah said he can't marry a mukas eitz. Is that a universally accepted statement, or is that just Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon saying he can't marry a mukas eitz? That last words of the Mishnah, v'lo yitzes mukas eitz, is that the Mishnah saying this as a statement independent of the previous machlokes? We had a machlokes whether a kohen gadol can marry a begeres, but everybody agrees that a kohen gadol cannot marry a mukas eitz, and a mukas eitz is some girl that lost her psulim through a wound. Or is this a continuation of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, but there are those that argue and say a kohen gadol could marry a mukas eitz? That's a machlokes rishonim. Now the truth is, according to some rishonim, it's a universally accepted statement. If you learn it's a universally accepted statement, if a girl lived with an animal, even if you don't consider the relationship with an animal a bia, but she lost her physical basulim. She is a mukas eitz. But if you learn that the laisas mukas eitz is in a continuation of her blaz of Reb Shimon statement, then if you disagree with her blaz of Reb Shimon, a kohen gadol could marry a mukas eitz, so then he can marry a girl that had a relationship with an animal. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because of Rashi. Rashi says in a number of places that the sentence of laisas mukas eitz is her blaz of Reb Shimon talking. It is not a universally accepted halacha. Therefore, in this Gemara that says Nivela lebehemel kshera lekuna, a girl who lives to behemel is kasher lekuna because she's not a zayna. However, she lost her psulim. She lived normally with an animal. He broke her psulim. So, Trashi, if you learn mukas eitz is pasul lekayin gadol, she would be pasul lekayin gadol. If you learn a mukas eitz can marry a kayin gadol, this girl could marry a kayin gadol. Let's take a look at Rashi. Nivelo lebei makshere lekuna filu lekayin gadol. The mukas eitz ba'almahi uman de shari ba'mukas eitz shari ba. The one who permits mukas eitz permits this. Now, who permits mukas eitz? The Mishnah said a kayin gadol can't marry a mukas eitz. The answer is Rashi's opinion is that is a continuation of Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon's statement, and therefore that's Rashi's opinion. Therefore, the ones who argue hold he could marry a mukas eitz. So therefore, if she lived with an animal, she's a mukas eitz. According to some, she'd even be able to marry a kayin gadol. According to others, she can't marry a kayin gadol, but she can marry a regular kayin. She's not a zayna. It is not a bia. The animal is considered like a piece of wood. It breaks her psulim, but it's not a relationship that we call a relationship. Therefore, bestiality is not a relationship. It's a perverted act, but it's not a relationship, and therefore she can marry a kayin. Which kind of kayin? Depends. She can definitely marry a regular kayin. She's not a zayna. Now, can she marry a kayin gadol? That depends. A woman who loses her psulim not through a man, not through a relationship, is she allowed to marry a kayin or not? Rashi holds that's a matter of machlokes. So the only reason I spoke about this machlokes is because of Rashi. Had Rashi not said it, I would have said she can't marry a kohen gadol according to everybody. She's a mukas eitz. But Rashi speaks out that mukas eitz is a machlokes. And Rashi says this in a number of places. Zokta Gemara ki aser tanyanami haki nivela lemisha eina ish. She had a relationship to a non-human, zokta Rashi behema. Avabi shebeskila, even though she's chayim skila, it's a perverted act that is capital, that deserves a capital punishment. Shera lakuna, she's kasha tekuna. Kiyasa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, Amar he said, Maisa, there was a story, Beriva Achas Behislu. There was a story in a girl in the city of Hislu. Rashi Hislu, Shemokim. And the Riv Chaita Machabedas and Sabayas, she was sweeping the house. Verova Kelev Kufri Machreha. And Rashi learns a Kelev Kufri is a big dog. A big dog committed bestiality with her for Shloi Kedarka. Shloi Kedarka. That's what happened. Now, the question was, is she kosher to Kahuna? V'chshira Rabbi Lakuna. And Rabbi permitted her even to a Kayan Gadol. That's how we understand the Gemara. Rabbi said, this girl is a Shloi Kedarka. She still has her psulim. So she's not even a mukas eitz, and she's not a zayna, because this relationship happened shloi kedarka with a dog. Frek the Gemara, Amalei Rava. I'm sorry, Amar Shmuel ulekayin gadol. Amar Shmuel ulekayin gadol. Shmuel explained the Rebbe even permitted her for a kayin gadol. Frek the Gemara, may Rebbe kayin gadol mihava. You're talking about a story. Rebbe paskin that a story. If Rebbe would have been teaching a shir and he said she's permitted to kayin gadol, fine. But Rebbe was asking a story. Rebbe lived after the Churban Beis HaMikdash a number of years. Rebbe wrote the Mishnayos around in the area about 80 years to 100 years after Churban Beis HaMikdash. Right? So Rebbe was talking about a story that happened in his days. Why is he talking about he paskin she's mutter to kayin gadol? There was no kayin gadol in Rebbe's days. Why would he have to paskin this? Rebbe said, she's a girl who had there been a Kohen Gadol, would be able to marry one. That's what Rebbe said.
Oh, yeah.
What?
He's anticipating Mashiach
coming
any day.
Exactly. Dr. Ashi, Kufri, Klovim, Gedalim, Shetzavim, Behem, Chayas. These are hunting dogs. It's interesting because the side it brings that the Aruch says it is a small dog. And Rashi learns it is a big dog. Anyway. Machreach like a darka, the kadarka they guard me mukas eights. Rabbi Lach a Kurban Abaya say a Kamadiris. He was many generations after Kurban Abaya. He was Saiva Tanoim. He was the end of the Tanoim. We made Rabbi Yechim ben Zakeh Chor of Abaya. And it was Rabbi Yechim ben Zakeh's generation by the Kurban Abaya. Now I'm Shachor Beis Hamigdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yechim ben Zakeh. So therefore, Rabbi lived after the Churban many generations, so why is he paskining Kohen Gadol? And the answer is, he wasn't paskining she could marry a Kohen Gadol. He was saying, she's so kosher that had there been a Kohen Gadol around, she'd be able to marry him. Dr. Gemarvite, Amalei Rava, some changed the girsa from Mipirkin to Mifrazakya, the Ravashi. Menoha milsa dam rabbanan eins nos lebehema. Why do the Rabbanan say that an act of bestiality is not called the Bia? They view an act, again, I want to make it clear. An act of bestiality is a perverted act that's punishable with death. The question is only whether that classifies as a relationship to be called a bia. We said it doesn't. We viewed it as a piece of wood. A perverted act, chayav skila, but all it is a piece of wood. Where did Rabbanan get that? L'chayra, there was an act of bestiality which resembles a relationship with a human. How did they know that that's not viewed as a bia?
That'd be very sensitive to animals, right? Animals would be upset by this.
This is.
This
identifies as an animal.
This is. You know, Matt, you're right. Animal rights, the reason people have animal rights is because that way they can be animals. Meaning, if I recognize that there's a difference between an animal and a human, then I as a human have to act human-like. I have to have sets of morals and ethics that I have as a human. I'm not an animal, I'm a human. But if that is, I think I'm just the smartest animal out there, and therefore animals have rights like a weaker animal, and I'm a stronger animal because I happen to have more brains, but I'm not a different sug. So therefore, I want animal rights, but then also I'm just an animal, just a smarter animal. So therefore that allows me to act animalistic because I'm an animal. What difference does it make with me and a cow? I just happen to have brains that the cow doesn't have, but I'm an animal and the cow's an animal. So therefore animals have rights. I have to have rachmanos on my cow because he's the same league as I am. He just happens to be a stupider me. But that way I can act like a cow as well because I'm also an animal. Whereas if a person recognizes that animals are just there to serve humanity, they're not the same league, they're not the same thing, they're just there to serve mankind, and a medaber is a higher level creation, so then this whole business of animal rights wouldn't be there. You don't torture animals, but at the same time, they're there to serve you. You don't have to give them rights, they're not deserving of equal rights. Animal rights, vegetarians, all those things come from the fact that I view myself as a smarter animal. And therefore, it allows me to act like an animal. That's my insight. I don't know if it's true, but that's what I believe. Anyway. Where does it come from? The Rabbanan say that an act with an animal is viewed like a piece of wood. A perverted act, chayamisa, but all it is a piece of wood. There's a law in the Torah that if a person gives a present to a zayna to have a relationship with her, that present he gives cannot be used as a carbon. So if Mr. Somebody walks over to a woman and says to her, I'd like to have a relationship with you, I will pay you an animal. I will give you a sheep if you let me have a relationship with you. And he has a relationship with her. And then she decides she wants to bring this sheep as a carbon. Right? She wants to bring a carbon. She cannot bring this as a carbon. It's an esnan zayda. That's one law in the Torah. Then there's a second law in the Torah, totally separate. A guy owns a sheep, and his friend owes a dog. And he says to his friend, let's trade. I will give you my sheep, and you give me your dog. That sheep became the exchange of a dog. Nothing wrong was done, purely kosher transaction between Reuven and Shimon. Shimon had a dog that Reuven needed to guard his herd. And Reuven had an extra sheep. So he told Shimon, I'll give you a sheep. Give me your dog. That sheep that was used in exchange of a dog cannot be brought as a carbon. Zeus HaKasov. A Mechir Kelev, an exchange of a dog, cannot be brought as a carbon. Two separate Isurim, nothing to do with each other. One is, if a person gives a present to a Zayna, that animal is Usher, it's an Esnan Zayna. Second Lav, brought in the same Pasuk, says you cannot bring a sheep that was exchanged for a dog. Nothing wrong was done, no act, no nothing. Regular exchange a dog for a sheep. Now, the Torah then says, Gam Shneihem.
Mechir Kelev, is that money also?
No, it's only the actual sheep that was exchanged. Once it's changed, the guy would sell that sheep and buy a different sheep that would not be Mechir Kelev. It's only the thing itself.
And the sheep, would it keep on going to the next owner? Would he also be offered?
No. Just that sheep.
But the sheep, let's say it was sold to a third party. Can a third party bring it as a korban?
Oh, no. That sheep becomes a band.
Okay.
Not its kids. Not if you exchange it. That exchange. That's a sugi and baba kama. Daf? Samachem and base.
No, please.
Yes. Anyway.
Money of a dog sale for
Betta Kabayas? I think yes. I'm not sure. To be fair, Shalom and Shulchan Aruch, I don't remember.
But the question I have is it only in Kelev?
Hmm?
Only in Kelev?
I just said it, yes. Only in Kelev.
Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Why is Kelev in this circumstance seem to be downgraded, where in Perek Shir it says that you can use their excrement for Torah scrolls?
The real answer is I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. This is a Xeris HaKasov. I'm sure the Chinuch must have a reason for it, but I don't know what it is, so I'm not going to comment. I don't know.
Okay. Dogs were rewarded.
Yes, well,
that's what Roger is asking. I think it was Roger that asked the question.
No, he said it was hard.
Yeah, it was me.
No,
yeah,
it was
I think it was Roger.
Dog
is man's best friend, but a Mechir Kelev can be brought to a carbon. Anyway. The answer is I don't know. But that's not law, because Xeris HaKasov. Now, this has nothing to do with our sugya yet. But the pasuk says, L'savi esna mechir kelev beis Hashem l'kecha, and it continues and it says, Gam Shnehem. By saying Shnehem, we say that if you exchange, let's say you own a maidservant that's a Zayna, and you exchange her with your friend for a dog. Your friend has a dog, and you have an extra maidservant who doubles as a Zayna. And you make a trade, you exchange her for a sheep. You have a Zayna, you own, a Shivcha, and you trade her for a sheep, that sheep is Mutter for a carbon. Mechir Zayna is not Aser, only Mechir Kelev. And if your friend has a dog, and you say to the person, I'll give you Rashi's case, the guy says, here is why a guy would do this, I don't know. He walks over to his friend and says, I'll give you a sheep. He tells a woman, I'll give you a sheep, be mezana with my dog. That is an esnan kelev. It is a present paid for a bestiality act. That is also not usher as a carbon. So again, if you give a present to a zayna for her services, that sheep is usher for a carbon. If you give a present for an act of bestiality, that present is not usher for a carbon. It's a proof that bestiality is not a relationship. Had it been viewed by the Torah as a human as a relationship, then why is it different than a relationship with a zayna? The answer is, bestiality is a piece of wood. It's a non-human. Non-humans are not relationships. Therefore, it's not under the heading Esnan Zayna. That's what we're learning out. Let's read it inside. How do I know that we view a relationship with an animal as a non-znus? Do not bring a present of a zayna or exchange of a dog as a carbon. Utanat. Esnan kelav, a present for a relationship with a dog, umechir zayna, or exchanging a zayna for a sheep, mutarim, or mutar is a carbon. Gam shneim, shnayim v'loy arba. Just these two, not the opposites. Why? Why if a guy pays for the services of bestiality, is it different if he pays for the services of the woman herself? The answer is, one is an act of bia, and one is an act of a piece of wood. One is not viewed as a relationship, and the Torah only answered a present paid for a relationship, not a present paid for a act of perversion with wood. With wood. The animal's wood. Rashi. So Rashi, Esnan Kelev. Shim Amar Adam Lezayna. Hey, lech klaz zav hi bali lekalbi. Rashi gives a certain case. Other Rishonim give a simpler case. Rashi says the guy walks over to a woman and says, "Live with my dog, and I'll give you payments." Umechir zayna, or shehechlub zayna betla. He owned the zayna and he exchanged her for a sheep. Mutarim lemizbeach. Those sheep are mutar lemizbeach. Umedishari esnan kelav al malav znosu. The Rishonim give a simpler case. A guy walks over to a guy who owns a dog and says, "I would like to commit bestiality with your dog. I'll give you a sheep." If you walked over to an owner of a zayna, a man who owned a shipcha, who acts as a zayna, and says, "I would like to give you money so I can have a relationship with your shipcha, who's a zayna," that would be aser. If he pays the owner for a relationship with a woman, it's called esnan zayna. If he pays the ownership for a relationship with a dog, it's not called esnan zayna. Why not? Because it's not esnus. It's perversion, but it's not esnus. That's the source. That a behema relationship is not a bia. Zakti Gemara Baiter. Tana Rabbanan. Anusis Atzmai, Amafutis Atzmai Lo Yisa. A man should not marry the woman, Kain Gadol, who forced himself on a woman or seduced a woman. He's not allowed to marry her. She's a bula. He can't marry her. Kain Gadol. However, v'im nasui, that is going to be two pshatim in the Gemara, what those words mean. I will translate it. The Gemara will have two different pshatim of what it means. If he marries her, the marriage is valid. What does that mean? We will find out as the Gemara goes along. Anusas chaveroi and mafutas chaveroi. If a woman had a relationship with his friend, not the Kohen Gadol himself, somebody else forced himself on her or seduced her, Lo Yisa, he should not marry. Then Nasa, if he married her, Rablazim Yaakov Emer Havlat Cholol, the Chachamim Emer Havlat Kasher. Rablazim Yaakov says the child of that offspring would be a Cholol, and the Chachamim say the child of an offspring of a Be'ulu L'Kohen Gadol is not a Cholol. If you remember yesterday, Rav Moshe Freund asked, what would be the child of a Be'ulu L'Kohen Gadol? This is exactly what the Machlokes here is. It says, a Kohen Gadol married a Be'ula. Is that child a Cholol? The Blessed Man Yaakov says yes, and the Chacham say no, and the Gemara will explain their Machlokes. The Gemara will explain. Rashi. I'm trying to avoid committing myself when the Gemara is going to have different shot. Well, he says, after Rashi, Kohen Gadol, the Seb Besula Yikach. B'shas L'kuchen Tia Besula. When he does Kedushin, she should be a Besula. Even when he does Nesu'ah. We had that earlier, that the Kohen Gadol marries a girl when she was he does Kedushin as a Psula, and then she became a Begeres. According to the Mandam, it says Begeres is Aser. Kohen Gadol cannot marry her.
When he's Ma'anis, that's for sure not considered a Kicha.
No, it's not a Kicha. It was not done for Kedushin. He doesn't need a get.
Right. We're not
it was out of wedlock.
We're not called to go back and say, well.
But it wasn't. It didn't do it for Kedusha.
So you need intent.
Sure. Kedusha can't happen without intent. It's not Yibum. Nasui. Now, here is a sticky point. A Kohen Gadol marries the woman that he was Ma'anas or Mefata, that he either forced himself upon on or he seduced. So the Gemara said he shouldn't marry her, but if he marries her, she's married. What does this mean? Amar Avuna, Amar Rav, Umaytzi Beget. He has to divorce her. He's not allowed to stay married to her. She's a Bulu the Kohen Gadol. Frech the Gemara, the Tadim Nasui. So what do you mean? What does it mean if you married her, he's married? He has to divorce her. If he married his friend's Bula, he also has to divorce her. What's the difference? Both are valid marriages, illegal. Both have to result in divorce. So what is the Gemara making a difference between the girl that he himself was manas and the girl that his friend was manas? If you listen to the Brisa said, if he forced himself on her, he shouldn't marry her, but if he marries, it's married. If his friend did, then it's not. What's the difference? In both cases, the marriage is valid. In both cases, the marriage needs a divorce, according to Rav Huna. So what's the difference between the two? Why does the Braisa differentiate between the two?
Where do you see that he has to give her a get?
Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. Umbaitzi beget.
Which case?
First case. Im nasui nasui.
Mashma, that's the second case. You don't even need a get.
It's not true. If you do Kedushin, Tachai V'Asei, you don't hold like a Makiva, it's not valid. It's a Ratzeh.
Maybe he's not holding a Makiva.
No, it's not like a Makiva. So, Frank, the Gemara, they're trying to not say nothing. What difference does it make? Amar Avacha Bayakav Loimar, please don't ask the question. Shein Mishalim Kanath Vemafuta. The only difference is, you're going to know the question in a second because you're going to want to answer. What do you want to ask? Exactly. That's what I knew that question was coming. Okay. Loimar, Shane, Mishalim Knas Mamafuta. 100% he has to divorce her. There's no difference between marrying his own Anusa, his own Mafuta, or marrying somebody else's. It's the same affair. He violated it. We break up the marriage. It's illegal. It's valid, but illegal. We say, hello, you got to divorce her. So what does it mean, Nasi Nasi? The halacha is, if a person's mafata girl, pitoy, seduced, he either pays knas or he marries her. If he marries her, he doesn't have to pay knas. So what happened if this Kohen Gadol was mafata girl and they went and got married, illegally, but validly? Now we make him break up the marriage. So the girl says, okay, so you owe me knas. And he says, we got married. And if you get married, there's no knas. That's im nasui nasui. Nasui nasui does not mean there's any difference between him marrying his own anusa or marrying his friend's anusa. Both are illegal and both are valid. And both we're going to break up because it's illegal. The only difference is, if a person, a Kohen Gadol, marries his own mafuta, he won't pay knas. Because he married her. Illegally, but he married her. The Torah said, if you marry your mafuta, you don't pay knas. So he married her. One second. That's what Nasi Nasi means. That's Rav Huna's pshat. That's one of the two pshatim in the Gemara, that a Nasi Nasi is no difference between marrying your own anusa, your own mafuta, or your friend's anusa, your friend's mafuta. I'm talking about a Kohen Gadol. When the Braisa differentiated, all the Braisa meant to say is, if the Kohen Gadol went ahead and married his own mafuta, which he's not supposed to do, he saves himself chamishim shkalim of knas because he married her. Frek baruch Moshe, but he has to pay her a ksuba, and the ksuba is the same amount. So what did he gain? If he divorces her because we're breaking up the marriage, he's going to have to pay the ksuba. So what difference does it make? Ultimately, he's going to have to pay the money. He's not going to pay it as a knas. He's going to pay it as a ksuba. He married her. When he marries her, he owes her a ksuba. When he divorces her, he has to pay the ksuba. So he didn't gain anything. Tyson's discussion. Now, Tyson is talking about the woman that was Michael her ksuba. And when she's Michael her ksuba, there's no ksuba. And because he married her, there's no knas. That's Tyson's, one of Tyson's answers.
I mean, it's hard to believe. She's saying...
Well, she was Mafuta, right? She loved him. He seduced her.
Isn't it the father?
No, I thought you said...
Depends, true. But it doesn't make a difference. She can be Michael Dixuba, she's over 12.
Right, I'm saying this is money, the father's money.
Correct.
Her.
And she's saying, I don't want the Dixuba, but I want the Knas.
Again, at the beginning she said, I'll marry you, even though it meant she wasn't getting Knas. She was willing to marry the Klein Gadol. And when they got married, he said, would you be Michael, be my Dixuba? She said, oh, I love you so dearly, you're marrying me, yes, I'll be Michael Dixuba. Bezen knocks on the door the day later and tells the Klein Gadol, Mr. Klein Gadol, you got to divorce his wife.
Now she wants the Knas.
Now she wants money. Well, it's too late now. She got married, so she was Michael or Knas, and she was Michael or Dixuba because she was so in love with this man that she was willing to be Michael or Dixuba.
But she's not loving him. It's in the best that says, get out of here.
Okay, well, there's no Knas because they got married. The minute he married her, Knas is out.
I thought Rebbe said that she wants
Now she wants money. She's divorcing her.
Well,
she married him, she didn't think she was going to have to get divorced the next day.
Well, consolation. No one should
wait
on super. Eventually, it could be something down the road.
But she was. She was foolish. She was seduced by the man. She's also foolish. You're right. No woman should be Michael or Dixuba. Why should she? Down the road, she might want it. But she was. That's one of Tyson's truths. That is the first shot. So according to the first shot, there's really no difference between the Kohen Gadol marrying the woman that he himself seduced or a Kohen Gadol marrying a woman that his friend seduced. In both cases, we force a divorce. In both cases, he committed illegalities that we reverse. Like every other Isser marriage, we walk in and say, Rabbeitzai, you guys have to get divorced. You're living illegally. We break up the marriage. There's no difference in whether the girl was his own Ba'ula or his friend's Ba'ula. In both cases, he had no right to marry her. If he married her, he committed an illegality, and it's continued illegality, and we break up the marriage. That's Rav Huna's shot. Azul Rav Gavia mi Beit Kassel, Amr l'shmaitze kameid Rav Ashi. Rav Gavia from Kassel went and said over this halacha to Rav Ashi. Amr lei, so Rav Ashi said, that's not pshat. Rav Ashi wants to say that if a Kohen Gadol marries the woman that he made into a Ba'ula, he does not have to divorce her. He committed an illegality, but an illegality that we do not break up because it's not a continued illegality. And I'm going to explain it to the best of my ability. It's a very difficult swara for me, but I will explain it to the best of my ability. The halacha is, if a Kohen Gadol marries a Begeres, which is illegal, we don't break up the marriage, even though he committed an isser of marrying a Begeres, because every woman turns into Begeres. Even if he would marry her at 12, sooner or later she turns into Begeres. So yes, he shouldn't have married her, because the tyrant doesn't want him marrying a Begeres, it wants him marrying a Psula. It's an isser assay. It's an assay. But we should be Psula Yikah. But once he did it, there's no reason to break up this marriage, because there's no isser for a kohen to live with a Begeres, because even if he married a 12-year-old, he can stay married to her later. So the original isser was done, but now it's reality in life. He's going to be married to a Begeres anyway, so let him stay married to this Begeres. Again, let me finish. A kohen marries a mukkas eitz. The halacha is, we don't break up the marriage. He committed an isser. Kohen Gadol. He married a mukkas eitz. He committed an isser. She's not a psula. But listen, she's not going to be a psula tomorrow anyway. It's a fact. She's going to be a ba'ula. And it's not an other man that caused it. So what difference does it make to us he committed a netzer. He married a girl he shouldn't have married. But once he married her, who cares? What happened to her now, it's not, this is what's automatically going to happen in every marriage. She loses her psulim. That's what marriage is for. So therefore, we're not going to break up the marriage. Zaktravashi, there's a difference between an other man living with her or the Kohen Gadol himself living with her. Another man lives with her, we break up the marriage because he's marrying the ba'ula of another man. Where his own ba'ula, listen, every Kohen Gadol that gets married, his wife becomes his ba'ula. So yes, he committed an isser by marrying her. But there's no reason to break up the marriage because any wife of a Kohen Gadol becomes a ba'ula and we let them live together as long as it's his own ba'ula. So therefore, if a Kohen Gadol marries the woman he seduced, he committed an isser, but we don't get involved. The Torah doesn't want it, but if it happens, we look the other way. If he committed somebody, he married somebody else's bula, that's not something that's going to happen, to live with somebody else's bula. Then we break up the marriage.
You're going to tell me that every time he lives with her, he started the isser, you know?
Right, he did an illegality.
He started the isser. That's the difference between but every time he lives with her, there's no, by regular law.
He's like, every time he lives with her, right.
He couldn't even be, ready for this? Is it every time he does the beer or every time he's married?
Every time he has a beer.
Not every time he's married?
No, no.
I may think. Whatever. But the bottom line is.
That's in Kedushin.
But by thinking, is it all going to be there or this one only?
Only things that the Isser is, because she's a Ba'ula, but it's its own Ba'ula, which it's only in three things, Begaris, Mukaseis, and his own Ba'ula, according to Ravashi. This is Ravashi's shot. Ravashi's saying, any Isser that's upon him that doesn't change reality, because once he did it, this is what happens to every wife of a Kohen Gadol. It's only an illegal to do it, not to continue it. That's what Ravashi's being Mechadish. Of course it's a very big Kiddush.
The original Bia was
100%. That's exactly what I said. I have a trouble with that, Svara. The Achrayim, I hate to use the word Achrayim struggle. Yitzchak Margaret and the struggles with the explanation of the Achrayim to understand this. The bottom line is it was an illegal marriage. Whether it was his friend's bula or his own bula, it's an illegal marriage. But yet we differentiate what happens afterwards. Once he did it, one is a continuation of illegality, and one is not. Because one is happens in every marriage of a Kohen Gadol. She becomes his bula, she loses her psulim, and she becomes a begaris. So what do you want the guy to do? He's going to be committing these things the rest of his life. He started off illegally, but now it's legal. The other one never becomes legal. That's what they're saying. Let me read it inside. So the Gemara, Taravashi told them, Amar Leva Rav Rabbi Yechon Amitavayu, Begeris and Mukaseis Layisim and Nasi Nasi. Alma do we see? Saifu Aliyas Mukas Begeris Tachtav. This woman is going to become a Begeris anyway, whether he married her wrong way or right way. Saifu Aliyas Mukaseis Tachtav. She's going to lose her Psulim anyway. How can that be? Saifu Aliyas Bula Tachtav. She's going to be his Ba'ula. So how could Rav Huna say Matziah Beget? Talk to Gemara Kasha. You're right. Rav Huna is a Kasha on Rav Huna. The other shot reads better. Rav Ashi's shot reads better. It's a Kasha on Rav Huna. Rashi. Talk to Rashi. She'ei Mishalom K'nasa B'mefuta. She'ei Mefuta Hi'analei Nesu'un L'miftir M'knasa D'patrim K'nasa M'fatein M'shalom K'nas El She'ein Kain So only if he doesn't marry. Because even more you mourn if he refuses. And the more you merenaloi L'ishalit M'klum. But if he marries her, there is no knas. Aval einus nice and miyad, and einus has to pay avilu and kainz if he marries her. They'll live in isha shayrim of loy shil isha. He has to pay her and marry her. Amar l'shmaitzil hadar avuna dam b'tziyah beget. Soifuli as mukaseit tachtim claim a soifuli ball over 11 b'sula. She's going to lose her b'sulim to him. Soifuli as bula tachtim im nasi the tani legamri kamar the mutul lekay mahayla atzmai nivula. She was nivula to him. The soifuli as bula loy. We will continue marriage from tomorrow.